And welcome to What the World Needs Now. This is your host, Ken Johnston, and it's a privilege to be with you today. I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, both your prayerful and financial support that's kept us on the air for over 40 years. And speaking of financial support, just a friendly reminder that our annual In His Sign Catholic Radio golf tournament is just around the corner on October the 10th. And will take place at the Old York Road Country Club in Springhouse, Pennsylvania. We're excited for this year's event and look forward to having another wonderful outing and sharing in some great golf moments. Please email praise@inhissign.com. That's praise@inhissign.com to reserve your spot in the golf tournament. If you're unable to golf, please consider sponsoring a priest or donating a prize for the silent auction. For additional information as well as sponsorship opportunities, please visit our website at www.inhissign.com or call 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906. If you go to our website at inhissign.com and scroll to the bottom of the page, the homepage, you'll see a link there to a brochure that has all the information you need to be a sponsor, to play golf, to just come for dinner. Whatever level of involvement you want to partake in, we'd be more than happy to help you. As usual, I will be there whacking the little white ball around. It's always a great day, so hopefully we'll see many of you. Again, that's on Monday, October the 10th. All right, without any further ado, happy to have back with us my good friend, Peter DePalma. Hi, Peter, how are you?
Hey Ken, everything is well. And you know, as I do every week since you gave me this beautiful opportunity to come on with you, I check my email every Tuesday evening just to make sure I haven't been canceled. So, and I was so happy to see that it wasn't this weekend. And yeah. It's so nice to be back in the seat with you.
and it's good to have you with us. I mean, this idea of having Divine Will Wednesday, and you know, I think our listeners probably know by now, you know, my background in learning about Louisa Picaretta and the Book of Heaven and the Gift of the Divine Will last summer. And just the route that I've been on since then, it never fails to amaze me how God, you know, puts people in our lives just when they need to be there. And for our listeners, if you've heard these shows on the last Wednesday of the month with Peter, and he's been really a blessing in bringing Father Iannuzzi and Father Celso last month to us. We're hoping to have Mother Gabriel with us next month, and you know, to learn about this gift. And you know, Peter, you know as well as I do, the word spread, and I know you're holding cenacles now that are around the world, the Philippines and all over the place. And if you want to learn more about what Peter is up to, you want to visit his website at queenofthedivinewill.org. That's queenofthedivinewill.org. You can get on his email list, and it keeps you updated on the podcasts that he has each week. And he has many of them, and be able to get plugged in and learn a little bit about this. And, you know, this has been a good week for our morning cenacle. For anybody that might be interested, we have the Morning Glory Divine Will Cenacle. We meet Monday through Friday from 6 a.m. to 7:30 a.m. online, where we read the Book of Heaven. And we had three additional people join us this week as a result of being at the conference in Indiana with Father Celso and company. And we have a woman that's part of our group that was there and is spreading the word. So like I said, Peter, this thing is starting to get traction. I know it had traction before I got involved, but it just seems in the last year, just since I've gotten involved, that there's more and more that's happening.
Well, you know, Ken, it's like the Great Awakening. Yeah, we know this. I mean, this is really in our DNA. This is what Adam had. This is what we inherited. You know, God didn't take it away from us. He just sort of put it on hold. He demobilized it. He neutralized it. He paused it, waiting for the generations to come. And hopefully that's us, you know. But you know, we have to realize that, you know, as this awakening takes place in each and every one of us, God has been grooming us our entire lives. And we just have to realize that everything we've gone through has not been a waste of time. It actually had to have happened for us in order to be where we are right now, to appreciate what we have, and to move forward.
Now, and when you say that, Father McKay, who I was on with in the previous hour, and myself, we have a not a following, but you know, people that are in recovery that listen to us. And to your point, once people get to a certain level in recovery from addiction, they finally realize that everything that has happened to them up until that point had to happen for them to get where they are. I would never be as grateful for the things that I have in my life today if I hadn't gone through the things that I went through. And I know, because we've become good friends and, you know, shared some stories, you know, life brought both of us to our knees. And it was only when we got that far down that God was finally able to, you know, find his way in and allow us to become part of the plan. And whether it's, you know, solely focused on the gift of the divine will and Louisa in the ministry that you're involved in, or my, you know, my many ministries, I guess, with Father McKay and Our House Ministries and doing the radio work and now getting involved with Maureen and the gang in the Cenacle. It's such a blessing. And to be able to look back and actually be grateful for everything that's happened in my life, good and bad, because I know that it's all led to this moment. And that's all we have, right, is this moment. And so regardless of where you are in your spiritual life, you only have now. We can't go back and beat ourselves up for what we've done in the past, because that's not going to do us any good. And we certainly can't worry about the future, because I guarantee you everybody has worried about the future, and usually things don't turn out the way you expected. And so, you know, try to live in this moment, and at least for the next 50 minutes or so, we're going to talk a little bit more about this this gift of the divine will and Louisa Picaretta and the gift that God wants to give to each and every one of us.
And, you know, Ken, on that point, I just want to interject really quickly. One of the divine will priests who's now deceased, Father John Olin Brown, when he came to visit us, I think it was back in 2016, maybe 17, and he stood here and he said, today is crucified between two thieves, yesterday and tomorrow. Exactly the point you just made. We can't dwell. We can learn from our mistakes from yesterday, but we can't dwell on it. Otherwise, it's going to paralyze us today. And we can't over-prepare for tomorrow, because there's no guarantee. That's being a little bit arrogant. We pray for another day to do God's will. So, right, we only have now, and we have to seize the opportunity.
Amen. So, we were kind of leaving this open to the Holy Spirit. We didn't have anything specific that we wanted to talk about, but you have mentioned, you know, this idea of the three appeals, and it might be a good place to get started here. And coming out of the you know, the Book of Heaven and Jesus' interaction with Louisa, we learned about these three appeals: one from Jesus, God Himself; one from the Blessed Mother; and then one from Louisa. And I guess the one thing that the three of them have in common is that they all lived in the divine will. Now, Louisa may not have been there exactly from birth, but for these are the three people, other than Adam, right, that lived the divine
Adam
will.
And Eve, yeah.
Yeah, they had it to begin with and unfortunately forfeited it. But, you know, these three, Jesus, Mary, and Louisa, you know, not only got it, but lived it out. And so maybe we can talk a little bit about these appeals and start with the appeal for Jesus, the divine king himself.
Yeah, and you know what's so interesting about these appeals, Ken, because if you think, another word for an appeal is sort of like a pledge, an invocation, a desire, a want. So here God's giving us the greatest gift he can give to mankind, and it's as if he's begging us to accept it. And he almost is begging us to accept it, only because, not because he can prove that he's right, but he loves us so much that he wants us back in his bosom. It's just like, it's like any parent now in a nuclear family that has an emancipated child that leaves home. You, of course, you worry night and day about them. You can't go out there and call the police on them, because they're free to be out there if they want to, but you always pray and hope that you'll do everything possible your entire life to be able to bring them back home, because you know that they're not ready for the world, that they need your help. And that's exactly what God the Father states. So, but what's really interesting, Ken, is in the divine appeal, it's Jesus, the divine King, along with his Father and the Holy Spirit, and they speak individually also. So we actually get words from God the Father, and these came from the volumes. These have the imprimatur, and I like to use the translation by Father Iannuzzi, because many of the translations have some ambiguities to them, but Father's work can be used in a public setting, of course, because he's a bona fide theologian and well-versed on not only the divine will, but in English and Italian. But you have, just in the beginning, Ken, astonishing, when God the Father reveals, quote, "My dear and beloved children, I come among you." See, right there, I'm not looking at you from afar. I come among you with my heart consumed entirely with flames of love. I come as a father to be with my children, for I love you so very much. My love is so great that I come to remain with you so that we may live together with one single will and with one single love, end quote. And, we learned, Kate, in one of our cynicals in the last week or so, we learned where Jesus explained to Louisa exactly why God is giving us this gift of the divine will. What does he want? I mean, one person called me and said, "Hey, Pete, what's in it for God?" And basically, God wants back his paternity. And you may say, well, he's always had his paternity, but he hasn't had it voluntarily from the creature. He hasn't had it from us. Again, like that example of the emancipated child who leaves the house. Yeah, you're still technically the father, but you don't feel like the father. You don't have that paternity until the child's back in your house. It's the same thing on a spiritual level with our blessed Lord in heaven. And that's incredible if we think about that.
No, and the just the idea that God the Father, desires this so much. And, my good friend Father McKay, always when talking about Jesus, the Father sends the Son to redeem us. And, who would send their Son out to die and to go through the passion that Christ went through? You certainly wouldn't do it for a pack of animals, but you would do it for your children. And, the life, death, and resurrection, the passion of Christ, and many of the folks that are involved in this gift of the divine will at any level, read from the passion of Christ, and with a whole new light, and read what he really did, and that God would go that far in order to reestablish his paternity, and not that he establishes it, but to call us back as his children. And I can still get thrown for a loop in trying to figure out the divine will versus my free will versus the human will, and in the end, God gave us the free will to make any choice we want to make, and to stay close to him or go as far as possible away from him. And for many of us, we chose to run away for a while, and now that we've chosen to come back and to follow, this idea that God has been coming for us for a long, long time. I think of the scripture and the prodigal son, and how when the father sees the son come over the horizon, he runs to him. He's looking every day waiting for him to come back, and then when he finally sees the son, he doesn't just sit there and wait for him to get there. He comes running to us, and we've all experienced that. I think if we've been away, and we realize that God runs to us, that's how much he loves us and how much he wants us back in the fold.
That's right. And really individually, he really does, because he chose to wait until this time. He chose to wait for our lifetime. He chose us as that small group. Again, not because we're special, because we're not. Not because we're smart, because on the contrary, we're probably on the other side of that spectrum, not so smart. but he waited for us to bring this small group together, to be so intimate with him like never before. Well, of course, since Adam and Eve, we look at the cog as a mechanism. We've got the power of God, and you've got these small cogs that come close to God, that get to recognize where the power and the source is, to understand him like no other person can, and then to transmit that power to other cogs. He's using us as a vehicle in which to do that. That's astonishing. And all we need to do is say fiat, to say, yes, Lord, I don't know how you're going to do this. I don't know the mechanisms. I'm never going to figure it out, but I trust you. Our Blessed Lady, she gave her fiat. She didn't know everything at the moment because things were dripped out to her little by little. But she said yes because she knew she could trust the Father. We can trust Jesus when he says, will you help me? Louisa did. We can do the same. And then everything opens up for us.
Amen. So we're talking about the divine appeal, and we hear from God the Father. What's Jesus have to say?
Well, again, he comes, he's the suffering. Again, God only suffered in his humanity. And it's really interesting, too, Ken. I think it was Friday evening. Was it Friday, this Friday or last Friday? The days all just escaped me. But we were reading about the actual event when the Trinity sort of called the powwow. And actually, we find out that Jesus volunteered to go and to suffer. And it's just amazing how it plays out. Not very long, maybe a paragraph. So Jesus states in this appeal, again, the Father states how much he loves us. He's giving us that umbrella love. The Son comes, quote, as I come to you, I come bearing my pains, my blood, my works, and even my very death. Look at me, each drop of my blood, each one of my sorrows, steps, and indeed all of my acts compete with each other for love of you as they seek to bestow upon you my divine will. Then he goes on to say toward the middle of it, Ken, this is a great line. He goes, quote, on my part, I have done everything. Now I am waiting for you to do your part. End quote. What an ultimatum in a loving sense. He's waiting for us to do our part. What's our part? Our part is to trust him, to have confidence in him, to desire this gift that we don't understand. What's faith? Faith's understanding something you really can't define. That's exactly when he left. He said, when I return, will I find faith? The faith is right here in the divine will. You've got plenty of cooperations. I mean, you've got the imprimatur, you've got the Nihil Obstat, you've got St. Hannibal de Francia, who was also the spiritual director to Melanie Calvert, Our Lady of La Salette's here. You've got St. Padre Pio, who spoke about Louisa, saying in the third millennium, the church and the world will be focused on Louisa. You've got Pius X, who, after being read the Hours of the Passion by St. Hannibal de Francia, said, no, Father, we must be on our knees. This truly is Jesus speaking. That's St. Pius X. So we've got all this animation around it to substantiate that this is real, this is true. But yet, from the surface, it acts and looks as if it is too good to be true. It's really a paradox, but it's beautiful. For those who have confidence and faith, it just, this is life-changing. It really is.
No, I couldn't agree more. You know, and it's interesting here where, you know, Jesus is saying, as I come to you, I come bearing my pains, my blood, my works. I was just on retreat last weekend and blessed to be on retreat. And the weekend that I go out on, we get quite a few people that aren't Catholic that come out. And midway through the retreat, a good friend of mine who's not Catholic came up to me in the room where a lot of the sessions were. There was a large crucifix, and he, being Protestant, said to me, you know, why is it with you Catholics that all your crosses have Jesus on them? You know, he's resurrected. He's not on the cross anymore. And, you know, and for us, I mean, this here, you know, says my pains, my blood, my works, that, you know, without the crucifix, without the crucifixion, there is no resurrection, right? Without the pain and suffering that Jesus experienced, there's no redemption. And, you know, so today, 2,000 years after that, not only do we have redemption, now Christ is pushing us towards sanctification. And the idea that can happen in our lifetime, while we're still walking on the planet, and not something that's, you know, far off and only going to be achieved when we get to heaven, that we can experience some of that right now. And these appeals that we're talking about is, you know, God's invitation, and we'll talk a little bit about Mary's invitation and Louisa's invitation to participate in that.
It's just, you know, Ken, when you think about it, no saint, no matter how exceedingly holy or brilliant that they were, can acquire God's mystical gifts unless God wills it. Mystical gifts, they're not given equally like our baptismal gifts. They're given actually unequally, based on God's good pleasure.
Right, and I think one of your shows recently or podcasts recently where talked about that, and it may have been Father Iannuzzi that, you know, in Scripture where Jesus talks about the different places that have been created in heaven, and to your point that they're not all equal, and I think it, as children of God, we're equal in the love that He has for each one of us, but He gives different gifts to each of us, and that's not something that we need to, you know, be necessarily concerned with and jealous about. You know, John's got these gifts and Joe's got those gifts. I think the idea is that we're each given these gifts, and then God's depending on us to use those gifts in order to bring about this kingdom of the divine will, to bring about His kingdom here on earth. Right,
that's right. And you know, when you talk about, you know, different levels, everyone in heaven, as we're told by Jesus, is 100% happy, 100% content. The difference is, it's almost like the size of the containers. You know, if you have a drink, what's more full, a full 12-ounce glass or a full 24-ounce glass? They're both full. But one has more substance to it, of course. And that's the different levels that Jesus talks about. It'll be a more intense degree of happiness. It'll still be total pleasure, total happiness, total contentment, but on a higher degree. And again, like you said, Ken, you know, we don't jockey for position here, but we do recognize that the gift of living in the divine will comes with it what's called accidental glory, which means all those who have gone before us, all those souls who cannot perform any more merits, can receive merit based on what we do in the gift of the divine will, because it's not us giving them extra glory, but it's us, in essence, through the satisfaction of God the Father, triggering an overflow, an excess allotment of happiness, contentment, again, increasing that vessel from a 24-ounce to a 32-ounce. Again, accidental glory, it's called, and it's beautiful. We can all participate in that.
Amen. I want to give out the phone numbers in case anybody wants to call in with a question or comment. The number's 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906. Or if you're listening from a distance, and we may have some friends I know from St. Louis and the Midwest, you can reach us toll-free, 888-343-2484. That's 888-343-2484. We got about 3 minutes before we go to the break at the bottom of the hour, Peter. Maybe we could wrap up the divine appeal, and then when we come back, we'll kick it off with Mary.
Yeah, makes sense, Ken. I want to end with a couple lines here that I think would be great within the time frame. First of all, here's Jesus explaining to us, petitioning to us, quote, "Who would have the heart to refuse me and to send me away without accepting this visit of mine, so replete with the Father's love?" Then he goes on to say that it's been almost 6,000 years that my humanity, desiring that my children come back and live together with me, has offered up many sighs and shed many bitter tears. I desire to have my children around me. I want to make them holy and happy again. Again, we know the intention. We know the desire. We know the reason why. Then he goes on to say, quote, "My children, where are you? Why don't you return to your father? Why do you leave me?" End quote. And when he says, "Why do you leave me?" in the present tense, it's because many will be introduced to this gift of living the divine will and will not accept it, for whatever reason. We're not going to judge the intent or the reason why. But he's basically saying, I'm giving you this gift, and you say no. Why? It's like it's your birthday, and your relative comes over the house and hands you a birthday gift, and you look at the gift and you hold it for a second and give it back to the giver, your relative, and say no thanks. I mean, they took the time to buy the gift, to wrap the gift, to come over the house and give you the gift. How ungrateful! That's exactly what we're doing, only on a greater extent, every time we say no to the divine will. Again, we may say we don't understand it, but that's okay. We need to ask questions. It's very simple. It's open to everybody. We talked about this. Desire, knowledge, virtues, and life is the four stages. And all we need to do is be in a state of grace, have an upright intention, want this for everyone, not just for ourselves, have an ardent desire, really want this gift, and ask for the gift, like we do in the Prevenient Act every morning. It's simple enough that we all can receive it if we want to. It's all up to us.
Amen. And like I said before, if you want to learn more about this, all are more than welcome to join our Cenacle if you can handle getting up at 6 a.m. or a little bit before in order to tune in. We've got a nice group, especially men. If there's any men out there listening, that morning Cenacle, it's Deacon John, myself, and a whole lot of women. And it'd be nice to get some more men involved. Anyway, we're already at the bottom of the hour, Peter. Time's flying by, so we got to take care of some business. And then when we come back, we'll talk about Mary's appeal. For our listeners, don't go away. We'll be right back.
Kathleen McCarthy enhances my life in so many ways. She's a friend, a teacher, and at times, a true spiritual mother. She has the great gift of meeting and loving each person where they are at. My name is Kathy Tierney. After I met Kathleen, I started to listen to her radio programs. In the Silence of My Heart is so special because the words provoke personal meditation and reflection. It gives gems to think about Jesus' love for me and for each of us. Our Lord then put Kathleen and Father Dermot Roach together when the Holy Spirit is with you. What a match. Wow. The program is an hour, but amazingly, it is like a coffee break that flies by. Our Blessed Mother and the Holy Spirit brought us the child Jesus. And Kathleen and Father Dermot bring Jesus, the Word, to the opening of every program. After the reading of the Holy Gospel, their teaching conversation so stirs your heart and soul, you will know the Holy Spirit is with you.
My friends, it is you who have stood lockstep with us in underpinning our apostolate by your powerful prayers and sacrificial financial giving. We have no doubt that you surely are the angels the Lord said he would send to us, and we are forever grateful. These are urgent times, and we need to proclaim the truth of God's Word, which alone can set us free. And we need to bring the Lord's healing power, love, and mercy out to a world that is in such desperate need. As your local Catholic radio apostolate, we are humbled and mightily blessed to have your loyal support. For our new listeners who would be interested in joining us, we can be reached at 610-527-2906. Or on the web at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to What the World Needs Now. Your host, Ken Johnston, and my good friend and guest, Peter DePalma, and we're talking about the gift of the divine will today. I'll give out the phone numbers again in case you want to call with a question or comment. The number is 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906. We're toll-free, 888-343-2484. So the basis of the conversation so far today has been on the three appeals. The appeal from God himself, from the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we covered that before we went to the break. And then the appeal from Mary, and the appeal finally from Louisa. So how about if we pick up, Peter, with Mary's appeal?
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing to compare our Blessed Mother's appeal, because, again, there's nothing like a mother's appeal. Well, she starts it off, Ken, eloquently by saying, again, she's speaking to Louisa in this appeal, but she's speaking to each and every one of us, of course. So she says, quote, "Dearest daughter, I feel the irresistible need to come down from heaven to offer you my maternal visits. If you assure me of your filial love and faithfulness, I will remain always with you in your soul to be your teacher, your model, your example, and most tender mother. I come to invite you to enter the kingdom of your tender mother, the kingdom of a divine will, and I knock at the door of your heart that you may invite me in." End quote. Motherly love is on a pedestal all by itself, and there's nothing that can compare to our Blessed Mother's love. She wants every single one of her children to be with her son forever. There's a joke we kid around that when Jesus closes the door to heaven, his Blessed Mother opens a window on the side. And it's constant. She's constantly, remember, there's nothing that our Blessed Mother will ask of our Lord that our Lord cannot comply with, cannot give her. He states that also in the volumes. And he says also, if you want miracles, go to my mother, for I can deny her nothing. So what an advocate we have. We always have to, I mean, as we're focusing on Jesus, and rightfully so, we never forget the mother, because wherever the son is, the mother is, and where the mother is, the son is. They're really united. She's a co-redemptrix. She's there. She's there for our benefit and for our needs. And, you know, just the way she starts off that, Ken, irresistible. She also was given a choice in heaven. She can either remain in heaven and do all her work from there, from her office in heaven, or she can come back down and sort of do the hard work, you know, in the trenches. And she chose to come down for her children. Without leaving heaven, of course, she bilocates. But she's here with us. She's in our midst, just like our Blessed Lord is. It's again, if we focus on Our Lady, the son is so elated. I mean, what son would not welcome the love and affection of his mother? Especially a Jewish son. Jewish mom. Come on, this is all very easy to predict.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, and I think that's one of the issues that we hear about with those that may not be Catholic, is how the emphasis that we have on the Blessed Mother. And you say it so well that, you know, it's not the Blessed Mother doing these things for her own sake. Everything that she does points to her son. And they were so close. When you read the volumes, and especially the Passion, and how closely linked they were in their suffering, and that, you know, she knew what was about to happen in her experience at the Last Supper. It just sheds a whole new light for me on how close the two of them really were. And, you know, to think that they could actually be separated is impossible. And as you point out, that she chose to come down and do the work here in the trenches. And how many times has she appeared over the centuries to various people, and especially in the last 100 years, it seems like there's new apparitions just about every decade, if not more frequently than that. And most of them, a lot of them approved. And so she's right in the thick of the battle. And I'll just say, I was texting back and forth with a friend of mine the other night, and you know, he reminded me that November 21st of this year, it'll be the 25th anniversary of my consecration to Jesus through Mary with the Knights of Immaculata. And the Blessed Mother has carried me ever since. And I know that. And that wasn't because I was always loyal to that consecration. I know many times when I wasn't, and not that I was doing anything necessarily wrong, it just wasn't part of my daily routine, that she was carrying me. And carrying me towards her son. And I know that I am where I am today because of my relationship with the Blessed Mother. And so for those that are listening, I'm sure many have consecrated themselves, whether it was through the knights or St. Louis de Montfort, Father Michael Gately in the 33 Days to Morning Glory. You know, whatever preparation you used in order to make that consecration, I think sooner or later you're going to continue to hear about this gift of the divine will, and that's where this consecration will hopefully lead you to. And I just end with this. One of the things that we talk about all the time is how happy people are that are living and trying to live in the divine will. And it really does. It separates the happy from the sad. And to be with all these joy-filled people, despite the things that are going on in their lives, is really a blessing for me.
Yeah, another thing, too, Ken, that I think about is, you know, you mentioned about the apparitions. Our Lady's been constantly traveling, constantly giving messages. But she also mentioned everything that she's done, every apparition she's had, every message she's given, has had as its primary goal to bring all children back to the gift of the divine will, because it's the way God intended creation to live. And it's the same as our Blessed Lord. I think our Blessed Lord in volume 16, I don't have the exact date in front of me now, but he says, everything for the last 2,000 years, everything that I've given the church itself, the sacraments, the mystics, the saints, everything, even the Eucharist, everything have been a means, a seed in which to bring all souls back to the divine will. So it's the end-all purpose. And that's, once we realize that, we recognize where the fence is. The fence is a lot closer than we think it is. And God's moving in the fences, so to speak. You know, like when Little League, if you get a not so good hitter, you brought in the fences, you brought the outfield in. Mm. Well, God's bringing the outfield in almost to guarantee that we can hit the ball out of the park. And that's what he's doing, because he wants us all back. It's not a game. He's not playing a game with us. But he wants to make sure we want this as much as he wants this. It's beautiful.
All right, so we're talking about Mary's appeal, the mother's appeal. Was there more you wanted to add here? Or,
well, something I want to mention about, Ken, about the Virgin Mary and the kingdom. That's and again, that has the church's imprimatur near Lobstadt. That's where Our Lady teaches us how to learn the gift of the divine will, especially in the first 6 days. It's 31 days. So she mentions in this appeal about the Virgin Mary and the Kingdom book. And she says this, quote, "This book is of gold, my child. It will form your spiritual fortune and also your happiness on earth. In it, you will find the fount of all goods. If you are weak, you will acquire strength. If you are tempted, you will achieve victory. If you have fallen into sin, you will find the compassionate and powerful hand to raise you up. If you feel afflicted, you will find comfort. If you are dejected, you shall discover the surest path to rekindle hope. If famished, you shall enjoy the heavenly bread of the divine will, and you will lack nothing. You will no longer be alone, for I, your tender mother, will provide you with the sweetest company and all of my maternal care." End quote. How are we so blessed to have this great lady be so compassionate, so loving, so docile to the Father? We don't deserve this, but this is what God has given us. We need to treasure it.
Amen. And like you said, it's a separate book from the Book of Heaven, and one that we went through in the month of May with our Cenacle, and I'm sure many others do it in the month of May, but can really be done at any time. So, yeah. Very good. And if you want the text of these, and most everything that we're talking about here, whether it's the 36 volumes, the Blessed Mother and in the Divine Kingdom, the Hours of the Passion, the text of all these can be downloaded from Peter's website at queenofthedivinewill.org. That's queenofthedivinewill.org. Sometimes when you go out to his website, there's so much material there. But if you scroll down that bar on the right-hand side, and you'll see especially the ones that we're talking about, will jump out at you, and you'll be able to download it and read it for free. Right, Peter?
Yeah, or listen to it. You know, a lot of people, like myself, I like to close my eyes sometimes and just listen, because there's audiobooks that go along with almost everything we have in written. And whatever your pleasure is, you know, everything is here for us. Everything is free. And given what's given to us freely, we give freely. But you know, it's really interesting, Ken, that when we're reading the Virgin Mary and the Kingdom, and remember when we just read about the divine appeal, remember our blessed Lord said, who would have the heart to refuse me and send me away without accepting this gift? You know, showing the downside or the heartfeltness of God. Our Blessed Lady says the same thing, well, in a similar way. She says, quote, do not inflict me with the sorrow of you rejecting me, but accept this gift of heaven that I am bringing you. Welcome my visit and my lessons. Know that I will go throughout the world, imparting my lessons to each individual and to all families, to religious communities, to every nation and to all peoples. If necessary, I will do so for entire centuries, until as their queen I have formed my people, and as their mother, my children, so that they may know the gift of living in the divine will and allow it to reign everywhere. End quote. That's what she's been doing, every apparition. This is also the white army that Father Gobi was forming through the locutions of our Blessed Mother. Everything has had as its primary purpose, done for us, to bring us back to the order, the place, and the purpose for which we were created by God. The prelapsarianary of Adam. No doubt it's going to happen. It's a divine decree. It's in the Our Father prayer.
Amen. All right. Can we move on, because we only got 15 minutes left, and talk about the daughter's appeal, the appeal from Louisa, the little daughter of the divine will?
Sure. Well, you know, Ken, most of the way, Louisa, she just recapitulates what our Blessed Lord said, what our Blessed Lady says, and she explains, you know, some of the pain that she had to endure about the writing of it, and the knowledge is revealed. But one of the things that really struck me, that's toward the, I guess, the middle of her appeal. Again, this is Louisa, the little door of the divine will, the one chosen to usher in the kingdom of the divine will on earth as it is in heaven. She says this, quote, I implore you, listen to him. I am ready to give my life for each one of you, to the point of enduring any pain, provided you open the door of your soul and allow the will of my beloved Jesus to reign in you, the triumph over all human generations. And now I extend an invitation to all of you. Come with me into Eden, where our origin had its beginning, where the Supreme Being created man, and making him king, gave him a kingdom in which to exercise dominion. This kingdom was the whole universe, but his scepter, his crown, and his power to command came from the depths of his soul, in which the divine fiat dwelled like a reigning king. This fiat constituted in man his true royalty. His garments were royal, more refulgent than the sun. His acts were noble and his beauty enrapturing. God loved him so much that he delighted in him. He called him my little king and my son. Everything was bliss, order, and harmony. End quote. And now we look on the other side of this, Ken. Everything in the world today is disorder, is not harmonious, is not bliss. Again, Our Lady in Fatima said there'll come a time when there'll be a diabolical disorientation. We're living it, where good will be bad and bad will be good, and even good people will do bad things thinking they're doing good. It's all been laid out for us. Our Lady is plotting our steps, anticipating what's going to happen. Why? For our protection, so that we're able to navigate through these storms. It's beautiful. It's all here.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And one of the things, and I may have mentioned this to you before, is, you know, when we read scripture and we talk about the Garden of Eden and Adam, that, you know, we get so quick from the creation story to Adam's fall that you think that, you know, Adam's created on day one and the fall occurs on day two. And it seems now that there was a at least some period of time where Adam lived in the divine will before that fall. And the idea that we can somehow or other get back to that through God's grace and the gift of the divine will is something that just attracted me right away. The idea that we can actually do this here and now and not have to wait until I die and hopefully get to heaven in order to experience it.
Ken, a lot of times what I fail to recognize is that this is the fulfillment of the Our Father. And our Lord is not going, remember when the apostles asked him, how do we pray? He only gave one prayer. He didn't give litanies and this and that. He gave one prayer, the Our Father. And when he petitions the Father, do you think he's going to be rhetorical and petition the Father for something the Father's not going to grant or the Father doesn't desire himself? Of course not. But this is the fulfillment of the Our Father. And, when we look at Louise's appeal here, again, following the same sort of structure, she now also comes in with that, how can you refuse this? She states this, quote, "The supreme fiat awaits us, beckons us, and urges us to take possession of it. Who would be so bold, who would be so obstinate as to not listen to its call and to not accept the great happiness it offers? All we have to do is cast off the miserable rags of our will, the mourning garment of our slavery in which our will has cast us, to clothe ourselves as queens and adorn ourselves with divine ornaments," end quote. So again, the reason and the problem with the rejection, the lack of rationale. I mean, there's no logical conclusion to say no to any of this, except the obvious, of course, ego, pride, or bewilderment. But even bewilderment, we have this in us. We should bring to the surface some type of desire to know more. And the more we know, of course, the more we're going to love it. It's all there.
Amen. We got about 8 minutes left here, Peter. And was there any final thing on the appeals? Because I only got the one question from Maureen, and I don't know if we're going to have the answer for it, but at least we could address it. But anything else on the appeals before we move?
Well, again, Lisa also appeals to the priests. And she talks about the priests. She explains about how Jesus wants to renew the priesthood. That the priesthood, she doesn't use the same words Jesus does, but Jesus actually used the words that the priesthood has become a laughing stock. And that's not, of course, all priests. But there's been, we know there's been an infiltration. We know there's been an attack within the church from the inside out just to make it look bad. And, of course, that continues in some instances. So she appeals to the priests. But basically she said, quote, "This third appeal I make to all of you, to the entire world, for are all my brothers and sisters and my children. Do you know why I'm calling upon all of you? Because I want to give you the life of the divine will. This is more than the very air that we breathe. It's like the sun from which we all receive the blessings of light. It's like a heartbeat that wishes to beat in the hearts of all. And as a child, I desire and yearn for you to take the life of the fiat." I'll end there. Again, the divine will runs and operates everything. When Adam lost everything, he really didn't lose everything. God the Father kept the divine will beating his heart, flowing his blood. He had to, because if he didn't, he would have ceased to exist. And if Adam ceased to exist, we wouldn't be here. There would not be the opportunity for redemption, and there would not have been the opportunity for sanctification that we have now. So God kept this sort of umbilical cord connected to Adam so that we may have life in order to come back. God has never lost his love for us. We are the ones that lost the love for him. So again, it didn't do much justice, but we tried to skate on it a little bit here and scratch the surface. Again, the three appeals are in Father Annuzzi's Divine Will Prayer Book. They're on the website, queensdivinewill.org, that Ken told you, in both text and audio. Now, Ken, you did want to get to a question. Do we have time for it? I can give a quick answer.
Okay. So it's from our good friend Maureen, and she says, "What does it mean to have divine will on loan?" And I think that's coming from Volume 18, where it sounds like we get the gift, but some of us, obviously Mary and Louisa, lived in it full time. Others of us may only get it on loan. Is that something you're familiar with?
Yeah, the loan that Jesus articulates here, Ken, is it is the divine, it's the total divine will, but it's usually given to a soul for one specific act. And what it does is, in lack of a sophisticated answer, it's given to the soul the act that's performed. It could be even a trivial act like a blinking of the eye, but that blinking of the eye gives more glory and honor to God because it's given to him on the level of God than all the work of the saints outside the divine will. So again, that's for another program. So, and then it's taken back. Now, when it's taken back, it leaves some residual residue, and that residue there is helping to condition us. This is the first time I'm going to use the word addict in a positive way. God wants to make us addicts, but of his love. And that's why he gives us this taste of the divine will on loan. That's why he gives us the frequent reception of the Eucharist, because the Eucharist is the divine will that we have and possess for that 15 minutes until the host dissolves. The divine will is a perennial communion, as if we're receiving the Eucharist every second of every moment of every day, which we physically could not do. That's why it's greater than the Eucharist. It's not God greater than God. So on loan is God giving us gratuitively this gift so that we may build resilience and desire to want it perpetually.
Very good. That's all the questions I had, but since we have a couple of minutes, just going back to Louisa's appeal, and you mentioned the desire to reform the priesthood, if you will, and to call priests back. I think I read where Father Celso is going to start up his gatherings for priests again. Is that right?
Yes, okay. That's Monday evenings at 7 p.m. Eastern time.
So for our listeners, I think that's one of the areas that we may struggle with this gift of the divine will. It's obviously, I don't think it's taught in seminaries, and for any of our priests to get involved and to understand it, it's really like an extracurricular activity, if you will, for them. And so we had Father Celso on the radio last month. Been blessed to listen to some of his talks that have been recorded online. And so if this is something that you're interested in and you want to let priests know about, I don't think there's any better way than to have them tune in to these sessions that Peter will be having with Father Celso. And do you have a start date yet, Peter?
I think it's the 12th, Monday the 12th. If that's the 12th.
Yeah.
I don't have a calendar in front of me. I think the 10th is this Monday and Tuesday, but next Monday is right. The priest. And then the following morning, Father Celso gives us the introduction to the gift of living in divine will, which is a beautiful program as well. So you have like a 12-hour back-to-back, Father Celso.
Right. So what you want to do is, if this is something you're interested in and you think you may have a priest friend that would be interested, get out to that queenofthedivinewill.org. What's the best way to sign up for your email list, Peter?
Just to send an email to maryshill@queenofthedivinewill.org and just ask to be placed to receive updates.
Right. And Peter, sometimes you get inundated because there's so much going on. But usually it's a couple of emails each week with just reminders, usually the beginning of the week, to let you know what's going on during the week, and then towards the end of the week to let you know what's going on the weekend. So if you get in touch with Peter and get on that list, you'll be aware of everything that's going on with the Divine Will. Hey, Peter, I can't thank you enough, pal, for spending another hour with us. I know I learned from it, and I'm sure our listeners have as well. Any parting words before we let you go?
Just thanks be to God, Ken, for everything and for this opportunity. You know, this is our life. Jesus tells us that everything's done. Everything's complete. This just has to be known so that others may share in these blessings. And when it has to be known, first, it has to be known by us, because how can we share something we don't know? So the more we learn, the more we study, the more we put this into practice, the happier we make our Blessed Lord, our Blessed Lady, and the closer we come back to the origin that God created us. This is a fairy tale, but the thing is, it's true. This is actual reality. This is true, and this is God's greatest gift to mankind, as he says it. So we're just welcome everyone to journey to try it. Just try, give God a chance, especially if your life has not gone exactly the way you planned it. God will resurrect it. He'll redirect it, guaranteed.
Amen. Peter, thank you again, pal. We'll talk soon.
Love you, brother. Thank
you
for the opportunity.
God bless. Yep. Bye-bye now. So we're blessed to have Peter now on the last Wednesday of each month. Next month, he hopes to bring along Mother Gabriel, and she'll be coming to us probably from Italy. She's there in her convent with an order of nuns that are the Daughters of the Divine Will, and Peter does the podcast with them every Thursday. If you again, if you get on his email list, he'll send you the link where you can watch live as they talk over Skype, I believe, to the sisters in Italy and talk about the gift of the divine will. Once again, it's been my pleasure to be with you for these 2 hours today, and I look forward to being with you again next Wednesday. Until then, I pray that God will hold you in the palm of his hand. Take care, and God bless.